Mark chapter 4, verse 35 is our text this morning, if you want to turn there. It is so good to be here with y'all and look out there and see. I was going to say, see all those old faces I remember, but I'll just say, see all those familiar faces. That's a little kinder, isn't it? But I came here in 1987, and Bruno Penner was pastor then. Some of you remember Bruno Penner? He was pastor of Bethel then, and invited our men's group to come over, and I got acquainted with Brother Bruno, and we had some of the men come over to our church for a Saturday breakfast one time. And so through the years, you know, I've got kind of acquainted with some of the folks and see some of the people out here. And some of you, I remember your faces. It's the names that escape me. And I have to ask Joanne the names because it seems like the women always know. And I'll see some of the women, I can't remember that person. Oh, she says, that's so-and-so. And their daughter married so-and-so, and they had some kids. And I mean, she tells the whole family. You know, I don't know how she does it, but she does. We're looking at Mark chapter 4, verse 35 and following. And let's go ahead and read that account, Mark 4, 35 and following. And when the same day, when the evening was come, he said unto them, let us pass over to the other side. And when he had sent away the multitude, they took him even as he was. He's probably exhausted from doing ministry. Jesus is divine. Jesus is the Son of God. But Jesus was perfect human too. Perfect God, perfect human. And so in the ministry of doing those things, he was exhausted. And they took him, and there was with him other little ships. And there rose a great storm of wind, and the waves beat into the ship, so that was now full. And he was in the hinder part of the ship. He was in the back of the ship, asleep on a pillow. Here's a ship, you know, just going all over the place. He's sound asleep. And they wake him and said, Master, don't you care that we perish? And now these were seasoned sailors. Some of them were, not all of them, but some of them were seasoned sailors, been out on that lake, and so they hadn't seen storms like this very often, and they thought they was going to perish. And he rose and rebuked the wind and said to the sea, peace be still. And the wind ceased, and there was a great calm. And he said to them, why are you so fearful? How is it that ye have no faith? And they feared exceedingly and said one another, what manner of man is this that even the wind and the sea obey him? How many of you have heard of Henry Gilmore? Anybody hear of Henry Gilmore? Well, he's an interesting character. He was born in 1836 in Ireland, and he became a sailor, sailing on ships across the sea, across the ocean. They ended up in America one time, and he hopped off the ship, became a house painter. And then the Civil War broke out, and he joined the New Jersey Cavalry, and he was taken a prisoner of war. And after the war was over, well, he was a religious man, and he helped start a Methodist church. He was musical. He led singing in churches and revivals, and he wrote music. Now, we only have one song that I know of that has survived over the years, and I don't think it's going to survive very much longer. It's in our old hymn books, but not in our new ones. Perhaps you know it. If you know it, sing it with me. It's called The Haven of Rest, and I may get the wrong pitch, maybe get too high or too low, but I've anchored my soul in the haven of rest. I'll sail the wild seas no more. The tempest may sweep o'er the wild stormy deep. In Jesus I'm safe evermore. I can see some of the older people know it, and some of the younger people weren't, but the haven of rest. Now, I don't know his story other than what I've shared with you, and I've often wondered, as he wrote that haven of rest, and he talked about this tempest and the storms and a wild stormy sea, maybe that's why when the ship landed in America, he hopped off and decided to become a house painter. You know, I don't know. I looked on the internet and Googled it. You can find a lot Googling, can't you? I looked on the there in Google, trying to find if there was some experience at sea that inspired this song. Do you remember John Newton, another old hymn writer? He wrote Amazing Grace. He was a slave ship captain, and he was involved in all the vices and the sins of the day, and his mother prayed for him constantly. And there was a storm at sea, and he feared for his life, and he gave his life to Jesus. And when they got to shore, he became a preacher, and he wrote Amazing Grace, How Sweet the Sound. So I looked for those storms in Henry Gilmore's life, but couldn't find any. I imagine, though, that there were some that inspired the song. Jesus, the haven of rest. My nephew was on the sea, and it was up in Alaska. They would gather those fish, I don't know, salmon or tuna, I don't know what fish they went, but they would gather those fish, and he would get a lot of money, because all he was doing was in the ship. They'd come home and spend it all, and then it was time for fish season again, and he'd go up there. But there were some experiences he had when he was up there. One time his ship collided with another, and there was two drowned. Another time he broke his wrist, and he couldn't go on the ship out to the sea. And that ship sank, and the captain and a couple, three others drowned. And a third time, he was out there in a big old storm and washing water up into the ship, and the bilge pumps wouldn't work. Now, have you ever worked so hard that you get physically sick? I try not to. But sometimes you just work so hard. And that's what happened there, because they hand pumped and they took it out with buckets. And he said that they just went, just trying to keep that water out of the ship to keep it afloat. And for 8 hours till they got out of the storm and back toward land. Well, he came to land and he got a job as a tow motor driver. After those experiences, storms at sea. Well, Jesus is here in a storm at sea, Jesus and the disciples. And we're going to look at it this week. And we see the storms. In verse 37, we see the serenity in verse 38, Jesus asleep, and we see the Savior in verse 39, peace, be still. And the storms, well, that's the problems we face, the storms of life. When the storms of life are raging, stand by me. And we see the serenity, that's the attitude we can have in the midst of our problems. And the Savior, that's the motivation. Well, the storms. You know, sometimes following Christ brings storms, doesn't it? Jesus said, in the world you shall have tribulation. And in Matthew 10:34, he says, think not that I've come to send peace on earth. I came not to send peace, but a sword. Now we have peace. Jesus gives us peace. But that doesn't mean everything's going to be tranquil, that everything's going to be just without conflict. We face storms of life. I wish we didn't. I wish the Bible said if you became a Christian, you never had cancer. If you became a Christian, you never had any problems. But the Bible says we're going to face the storms of life. They're going to come, and following Christ sometimes causes storms. The disciples followed Christ. Jesus said, let's go to the other side. And they hopped into the little ship. And they started to go. And they came into the storms. And you know, that wasn't the last storm that they faced. Tradition tells us, it's not in the Bible, but it's reliable church history and tradition tells us, that all the disciples, except Judas Iscariot, who hung himself and was replaced, and John, who we believe died from old age, but all the other disciples, 10 of the 12, all the other disciples died a martyr's death. They faced storms, didn't they? And Peter, he was crucified, And he has to be crucified upside down because he didn't feel worthy to be crucified in the same, or put to death in the same manner as Jesus was. And Thomas, I believe it was, had a spear thrust in his side in India. And we could look at the various ones and the death that they had. They faced the storms of life. And we see that. And you may be facing a storm of life today. Maybe something going on in your life that nobody knows about, or maybe it's a well-known thing, but the storms of life. Let me tell you, Jesus can be the Prince of Peace in that storm. Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. And folks, we can see the peace in the storm. Years ago, I went to Niagara Falls. I was looking at, watching Niagara Falls, and I could see the ledges, you know, and the water coming over the ledges and on the ledges, and there was some dirt on the ledges. And you know, all that force of water that was destructive if you were in a little boat or something going over it, all that force of water, destructive water. And there was a ledge out there and had some little flowers on it. And a bird landed on it, you know? And I thought about, hey, that's peace in the midst of the storms. The storms are the raging water going by, and yet there's some peace there. Folks, we're facing storms, just like the disciples faced. But you know what? We can have serenity in that storm. And Christ, in his humanity, he was exhausted, but he went in the boat. And one commentator said this: because of his complete trust in his Almighty Father's care and protection, and his knowledge that he had God-given power over the wind and sea, Jesus remains peacefully asleep. He knew his destiny was the cross. There wasn't any storm strong enough to sink the ship that Jesus was in. There wasn't any wind strong enough to keep him from accomplishing his ministry. And he slept in the perfect knowledge that God the Father was providentially caring for him, and that his destiny was the cross. He was serene. Psalm 4, verse 8 says, in peace I will both lie down and sleep. For you alone, O Lord, make me to dwell in safety. And Psalm 4, 8 says, for he gives sleep to his beloved. The storms of life come. And how do you respond to them? Years ago, when I was pastoring at Calvary, there were two men that both had terminal cancer. One was a member of a church, regular in church attendance and devout in his commitment to Christ. And the other, he had a religious background, but he really wasn't devoted to Christ at that time. And so anyway, as I go visit them, the second fellow, it would be doom and gloom in that household. He had looked forward to retirement, but he wasn't going to have a retirement. He was quit work because of his cancer, but not because of retirement. He had plans for retirement, he and his wife. But I'd go in that house, and it would be very much despair. And I'd talk about Christ and the gospel and that, you know. And he'd had some type of a religious experience as a kid. I'm not sure if he was saved or not, but it would be a very depressing time in that house. He was going to die. He knew he was going to die. There was nothing that could prevent him from dying, and all his plans that he had were not going to get realized. And his wife was in despair too, because she would look forward to doing the things with him that they were going to do in retirement. I'd go visit the other man. They both, same time, dying of cancer. And I'd go visit the other fellow. And he'd say, hey, Brother Bill, let me share with you what I've learned in the scriptures this week. And he'd been in the scriptures. Now, I was a little down. This guy was not only a member of our church, he was a friend, and I really liked him, and he's kind of reminded me of my mom and dad, he and his wife, you know, and they were older. But he's there, he knew he was going to die, and he would talk about some of the glories of heaven. He had never remembered seeing his mother. We just had this COVID epidemic, you know. His mother died in 1918 or 1919, but she died from that Spanish flu thing they had years ago. And he was just a little tyke, he might have been an infant, I don't know. But 1918, and she died, and he said, next to Jesus, the thing that he's looking forward to most, next to seeing Jesus as Savior, was seeing his dear mother, you know. And he'd talk about those things. And he had a whole different attitude toward death. And I would go in, I was a little down. I didn't want to say goodbye to him. But he would cheer me up, you know. There was serenity. The storms of life came. But he had serenity. Why? Because of the presence of Christ. Because he knew Jesus as his Lord and Savior. And when the storms of life come, you can have that same serenity. Jesus asleep in the front, in the back of the ships, in perfect peace. And the disciples all were in turmoil, you know, the storms, and they were all upset, and they were looking back. How is Jesus sleeping? And we're just about ready to sink. Well, we can have serenity because we have a Savior. Isn't that right? The storms of life come, but we can have serenity because there's a Savior. Well, look at verse 41. Can you imagine this? Verse 39, he rose and rebuked the wind and said to the sea, peace be still. And the wind ceased, and there was a great calm. In verse 41, they feared exceedingly and said, what manner of man is this that even the wind and the sea obey him? Can you imagine? Hear the wind. Blowing and probably the rain pouring down, pelting down, and the waves beating up high and everything, and the turmoil is going back and forth in the ship. And Jesus gets up and he says, peace, be still. Just like that, a dead calm. No, you know what? The disciples had to get out the oars and row to shore. There wasn't any wind to bring them into shore. You know, and it was just like that, just a complete transformation, a complete change. And they said, what kind of man is this that the wind and the sea obey him? Well, we can look in chapter 5, and I'm kind of thinking that when Mark wrote this gospel, that he's answering that question. What manner of man is this? And we look at chapter 5, and Mark just tells us what type of man. Not only does he have power over the physical, the storms and the wind, but, look at verse 2 of chapter 5. And when he come out of the ship, immediately there met him out of the tombs a man with an unclean spirit. Demons. We can read about how this fellow was. They tried to chain him, tried to confine him. He plucked the chains off. He wouldn't wear any clothes, and he was just scaring everybody up there in the mountains and cut himself with stones. Well, Jesus came. What are you going to do with that fellow? He's just crazy. He's demon-possessed. Jesus said in verse 8, come out of the man, thou unclean spirit. Now, Jesus had power over the demonic, over the devil. And then we can see a little further on, verses 11, 12, and cast the demons into the pigs, and they were choked in the sea. And we move down here, verse 22, Jairus comes, and he has a daughter that's sick at the point of death. And he begs Jesus, come and heal her. And do you know what Jesus does? But on the way, Jesus is interrupted by a woman with an issue of blood, and you can read that in verses 25 through 26. Hey, this verse 26 is an interesting verse. Where Mark, I believe Matthew says something similar, and she had suffered many things of many physicians. Luke has the same story, but he doesn't say that. He's a doctor. Mark says, the doctor, she suffered at the hands of the doctors. Well, Luke tells the story, but he leaves that detail out. But anyway, she touches Jesus' garment. She is healed. Jairus' daughter now, his servants come and say, so much time has elapsed that your daughter's dead. Don't trouble the master anymore. And you remember this story. Jesus goes, and verse 37, he takes Peter and James and John, and they go in there, and your daughter's not dead but sleep, and they laughed him to scorn. Now, you might wonder how they could change their emotions. Did you know that in those days there were professional mourners? What do you do for a living? Well, I raise sheep, or I tend cattle, or I work with leather, whatever. And what's your job? I cry. I'm a professional mourner. Can you imagine having that job? You know, they have professional mourners. There would be a funeral, and they'd go out, and they would cry. And so I think that's who Jesus said, she's not asleep. I mean, she's not dead, she's sleeping. And these professional mourners, they're not really into the emotion of sadness. They're just crying, and they start laughing. But you know the story. The little girl is risen and walk in verse 42. What is Mark telling us in this chapter? Jesus is all powerful. He's powerful over nature. He's powerful over the demons. He's powerful over death. He's powerful over disease. Jesus is Lord of all. And that is why we can have the serenity when the storms of life come. Because Jesus is all powerful. Folks, I don't know what type of storms of life you're facing, but I do know this, that eventually all of us will face some storms, unless we die in infancy or die real little. As we go through life, the rain falls on the just and the unjust, the scripture tells us. And also, the storms fall on the just and the unjust, don't they? We all participate. So there's going to be some things that come your way, some storms of life. And I urge you to take Jesus as your Lord and Savior, because he is the solution to those storms. He'll take you out on the other side. And we might have all kinds of bad things happen to us, but knowing that Jesus is going to take us out on the other side, isn't that a great motivation to have serenity? Now, no wonder Henry Gilmore called Jesus the haven of rest. So as the storms come in your world, in your life, I urge you to turn your life over to Christ. Now the praise team or the worship team or whatever the name is going to sing. And as they sing, we're going to have a prayer team. They tell me this is a new ministry, a prayer team. They'll be standing at the front. And you have a storm in your life, and you want some prayer. Come up and have one of the prayer team have a prayer for you. Or maybe you say, I just don't know if I know Jesus as my Lord and Savior. Well, one of the prayer teams will be sure to tell you how to receive Jesus. Just say, Father, forgive me my sins, and I receive you as my Lord and Savior.